Okay.
George, you agree with that? Oh, yes, Doc. You got a question for George?
Yeah. George, you mentioned a clear plan that the fast bowlers should have taken, bowling the top of off stump, not bowling too short, not bowling too full. Do you think that our bowlers aren't developing? Because when you played, did you depend on a coach to tell you what you had to do, or did you work out what you had to do as time went on?
Well, before I went to Leicester, we never had any coaches. And a lot of times that we used to do is get our buddies and go across the pasture, and we start to bowl at one stump. We bowl at one stump for, you know, a couple of hours. And what we used to do is bowl from our full run.
Right.
I don't know if the guys right now that we have are bowling or practicing off their full run. The thing about fast bowling, if you do not practice off your full run, when it comes match time, it's going to be strange to you. Mm-hmm. There is no muscle memory, mm-hmm. because the body's not used to you coming that hard a dip and, you know, trying to bowl fast. And you're going to lose your accuracy. You're going to get tired quickly because you did not practice that way. So it's very important for our guys to practice with intensity and dedication and commitment. I believe that what our fast bowlers need to do as well is do like the golfers, the basketballers, and so on their own, do their own practices. You know, you say, I'm going to bowl 15 minutes trying to bowl, hit the top of off stump. Another 15 minutes trying to bowl my outswingers. Practice another 15, try to bowl my in-cutters. Another 15, bowl some Yorkers. Another 15, trying to bowl bouncers. It's very critical for us to practice to do that. And I just don't mean that you're going to do it from a short run, from your full run, just like you're playing in a match. The bouncers, I noticed that our guys are not bowling effective bouncers at all. Mm-hmm. It's either a short, long hop or something that goes over your head. So you have to practice bouncers. Don't let anybody fool you. You got to practice also the Yorker. Mm. And I've noticed that our West Indian bowlers have put away the Yorkers now. And that's a very, very deadly weapon for batsmen, especially when they're coming in at an early stage, especially if you just get one of the previous batsmen out with a short lifting delivery. He's going to look for something short too. And if you have a good, deadly Yorker, you can set him up. He's cold, right on back in his crease. You can get him on the booth or knock his stumps out the ground. Mm-hmm. So practicing is very, very essential.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a lot there. You mentioned outswingers, Yorkers. But you've noticed that our bowlers can't do all of those things.
When it comes to practice, if you don't practice, you can't preach.
But we have bowling coaches, and we've had different bowling coaches, but we don't have a bowler that can bowl an outswinger and an in-swinger. We usually have guys that bowl just outswing, or guys that just angle the ball and get in-swing. Mm. Their repertoire hasn't developed over time, if you look at the bowlers. Gabriel just depends on a little bit of seam movement, but he hasn't learned to swing the ball. Mm-hmm. What's the problem there?
Well, you can't depend on the coaches for everything. You got to work on your own technique, work on your own skill, because the coach, you know, he has a lot to do himself. You know, he's got other guys to work with. And I believe that when you're at the test level, you do not really need all that technical coaching. You just need some guidance, some tips here and there. Gabriel, Alzari, and a lot, they need to do a lot of homework, a lot of practice. See what is working for them in the nets. Go to the nets often. In their off time, in the off season, you know, don't just take it and just sit back and relax, go to the beach alone. You keep working at your game. You know, Tiger Woods never have any really long vacation. Michael Jordan didn't have any long vacation. I'm sure LeBron James. These guys don't take long vacations. They're constantly working up their craft. Work at your game. Fast bowling takes a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, you know. So they got to work on their own games too.
Perhaps if we come back to Sir Clive now. Sir Clive, you know, George Ferris, good to have you on the show. Maybe you can take us through, Sir Clive, some of the great fast bowlers that you had and their assets. You talked about Colin Croft always in your neck. What was special about a Michael Holden, Sir Clive?
Well, Michael was quick. It's no doubt about that, and he swung it.
So quick and
Michael
swinging.
Used to bowl big and swing it. Yeah,
right.
When he started, and he wasn't that quick. Don't forget, Michael Holding went to Australia. He'd never had a 5-wicket haul, so he got to Australia and learned to bowl, and he learned to because wickets were responsive, and he was near other guys, Andy, the other Wren, who he idolized. And they learned from them. But the point is, I remember quite vividly, we had a situation where we were bowling some no balls. And I said to all the bowlers, I said, gentlemen, can you get your spikes and your bowling boots on? I will be observing the no balls. And anyone who bowls a no ball, I want you from your full run. And anyone who bowls a no ball, it will be $1.
Oh, dear.
Oh man, it was the best session of umpiring you'll ever see. But the point is, I agree with George, is that you have to go, when you go out there, you have to, you know that when you're running up, I'm not going to go over. I can count the no balls Michael Holding at bowl. I can tell you where it was because he was running from that far and he never bowled a no ball. So if I see a spinner bowling a no ball, I am right annoyed. And if I'm catching it for a slip, just like the wicket keeper, I take a beautiful catch, and then I see the umpire's hand out there saying no. I am really now annoyed. So you have to go out there and you have to practice batting. When you go out there, our bowlers didn't have any sort of, when they had their time to bat. And let me tell you what happened. If we have 2 days, the first day, the bowlers will bat first. So they will have top bowlers bowling at them. We don't get any little Mickey Mouse bowlers bowling at them.
No.
So if you want them to make runs, you have to make them feel that they're important. And that is why our bowlers make runs, or made a lot of runs, for us.
Sir Clive, Sir Clive, catching. I just want to ask a question, Sir Clive. Would Michael Holden, was he the quickest of the lot, Michael Holden?
Well, when he was going, yes, I would think he would have been. And he was fairly lively.
Yes.
And Crofty was not too far behind. But Michael, because he had this beautiful accent.
Yes.
You know, it didn't take a lot out of him to, you know, I remember when he bowled in Barbados and that green pitch. And I was afraid for the batters.
Oh, dear.
The opposition batters.
Mm.
And I remember Boy Scott said he lasted 3 balls or something. He said if anybody else had opened the batting for England, they would have been 3 down.
Yeah, that's true. The best over the set in Test cricket. How can we forget that?
It was sharp.
Sharp. Yeah.
Malcolm Marshall was not too far behind.
Talk about Malcolm Marshall and his assets, Sir Clive.
Well, Malcolm swung it both ways.
Right.
He had a very quick arm action. And this guy was a great thinker.
Oh, great thinker.
Apart from Andy Roberts, I think he was one of our best thinkers of fast bowling is concerned. And you see, the thing with our fast bowlers, they all did something different. Yeah. It wasn't all out swingers or in swing. They bowled different things. So when you came to bat against our players, you had to be on top of your game. And that's why they were successful. Because you there was no let up.
No let up at all. None.
And the point is that we had guys who, that we didn't just have fast bowlers. We had thinking fast.
That's important.
These were not Calypso
students,
cricketers.
No, students of the game, Sir Clive. They were students of the game.
Talk
about Joel Garner.
Joel was deceptive because of his height. He will get balls to rise disconcertingly from a fairly good length. Then he had a devastating Yorker like Charlie Griffith.
Yes.
And he would have done well in this 2020.
Yes.
T20.
And Crofty.
And he was consistent.
And you spoke about Crofty, the hard worker. Crofty.
Oh, yes. He was a strong boy.
Mm-hmm.
He would bowl anytime it's not doing, or the ball is old, he'll, still get them to do some.
Crofty. Yes.
He was a very dedicated young man, and you know, it was great to have him.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you had a guy who can pull bowl a little longer for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Malcolm Marshall.
Right.
When he broke his hand,
mm-hmm.
and we were sitting down there, and I said, "Listen, do you think you can play?" He said, "Do you want me to play?" I said, "Would you play?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Fine."
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered John Shepherd playing against Yorkshire, and this guy, Jimmy Binks, the wicketkeeper, Yorkshire wicketkeeper, asked the umpire if John Shepherd can roll his sleeves down. Well, you're in a family program. I can't tell you what he said. But I remembered when Malcolm had the plaster, the white plaster Paris, and I said, "Well, fine. What we'll do is put a flesh-colored plaster on it so they would not have, you know, any qualms about, you know, they can't see, this is blinding them or whatever, distraction." And he bowled, he got 5 wickets, he came out, batted one, and did extremely well, helped Larry Gomes to 100, I think.
Yep.
But how many guys today would be able to do that? I don't know.
The one-arm bandit, yes.
Just showed you the type of guys that we
commitment.
Have.
Commitment, you know? To West Indies cricket, that's important.
Well, right there, that's it. You know, and our guys are being paid much better, and that we wanted that. That's why we went to Kerry Park. They're now being paid much. They're getting a very good living. I think they need to give something back to the people who've given them that chance to pay their wares.
Well said, Sir Clive. We got just about 9 minutes left on the show. George, tell us, what are you doing now there in Orlando? What are you up to in terms of work?
I work as a business consultant with a nonprofit organization, and I do have a small business on the side, do a little thing for supplemental income, doing online sales. So, you know, keeping myself busy, keeping myself out of trouble.
And your lovely Antiguan wife and children?
Yes, she's from Antigua. I've got 3 kids. One was born in England, one born in Antigua, and one born in the United States. Yeah. So we're the United Nations.
Any playing cricket?
They're all adults now, by the way.
Oh, any playing cricket?
They're all adults. No cricket. No, I named one, and my son is named Imran. I named him after Imran Khan.
Oh, really?
But he never really liked cricket. Oh. Yeah, he's an architect in California.
Oh, he is?
One of my daughter, she works.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. He's an architect as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you said you named him Imran?
Imran. Mm. Yeah, I named him after Imran Khan.
But interestingly enough...
When we played against Sussex... Pardon?
No, continue.
When we played against Sussex at Grace Road, we played against Imran Khan, and I happened to get him out. And I told him after the game, I'm going to name my son after you. You know,
isn't that wonderful? But interestingly enough, though, you're George John Fitzgerald Ferris. How did that come about?
Yes. Well, my dad, I think he was a fan of John F. Kennedy.
Oh,
so
yes.
He named me John Fitzgerald as well.
Oh, wonderful.
So here we go.
And just before you go, though, I mean, you will be part of a very successful West Indies side with some big names at that tour back in 1982. You had people like Roger Harper was your captain, Phil Simmons, Andrew Jackman, Raymond Denny, you know, David Williams was the keeper, Dave Cumberbatch, who never really went on. People thought you would play Anthony Merritt, who is now the creator there at the ground in Antigua, the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium. Courtney Walsh was being part of that team, Robert Haynes. You had some big guns in that side.
Oh, yes, it was a good team. We were the underdogs because when we went to England, most of those guys were playing county cricket or second 11 cricket.
Right.
And they thought that they were going to roll us over, but they got a surprise of their lives, you know. So, and that's where Courtney, Anthony, and myself made the breakthrough and got into county cricket. We were offered contracts.
Right,
after the tour.
Yes, and you played for Leicester for quite a long time. And we could never forget that spell against Roland Butcher, when you hit Roland Butcher playing for Middlesex. Tell us about that.
Well, we were playing at Lord's, and it's From what I heard, that was my first season at Leicester. From what I heard, they were intimidated by Wayne Daniel.
Yes.
Diamonds?
Yes, Diamonds.
Oh, so he really put a spell on us. And he, when I went into bat, he started bowling me lots of bouncers. He hit me all over body. So, you know, after I got out, I went to the dressing room and I told them, well, you started the war. I'm going to end it.
Ooh.
And that was it. I got booed at Lords because I was bowling a lot of bouncers, hitting Gatting and Downton and all these guys on their head. And unfortunately, my good friend Roland got hit as well. Yeah. Great guy. I felt it. I never slept the night after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Roland.
Yeah. It was a serious blow.
Great human being. Yeah. Great friend.
And you would have had people at Greenwich boycott Gooch, Martin Crowe. You got all these big batsmen up. Just before we go, we just got another 5 minutes left on the show. Do you believe, George, first, that you should have played Test cricket for the West Indies?
If it hadn't been for my knee injury, I should have played. Because I don't know if Sir Clive remembered that. I was on standby for the 1983 tour to India.
Okay.
I got my letter from the West Indies board and everything to be on standby.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. And it was an honor because you had the likes of Sir Roberts, Mr. Holding, Mr. Marshall, the late Mr. Marshall, late great. And all the great fast bowlers. And to just be considered to be a standby in those days.
In those days. Back in 1983.
It was like, oh my goodness. Yes. I couldn't believe it. When I got the letter, I thought it was a joke. I said, what?
Yeah, standby.
Yes, standby.
And
wow.
That was awesome. And your biggest disappointment in cricket?
Well, my biggest disappointment in cricket was the way I ended my career. I started my career at Kensington and ended it at Kensington. My last game in the region was for the West Indies President's 11 against India with the likes of Brian Lara and so on in the team. And I bowled well, took three wickets, included Vinsaka Kapildev. And the Leeward Islands picked 29 men the next year. And didn't pick me.
Say that again.
Nobody explained that to me. I was just about 25 years of age.
Really?
And I was getting stronger. Oh yeah. I'm
sorry. You see, I wasn't a selector then.
Oh, I see.
It was a Leeward Island selector.
Okay.
Sir Clive.
I'm sorry. I didn't get to captain you, George. But
I'm sorry too, sir. I know you would have taken care of me.
You know that.
Yes, I know that. Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, George, but, continue.
But, you know, I think that they did me a favor, in a sense. You know, the Bible says what men meant for bad, God meant it for good.
Right, right.
And it made me come and further my education.
Right.
Went back to college, got my master's degree.
Wonderful.
Master's degree in business administration and a minor in accounting. So, you know, I always used to wonder what I was going to do after cricket. And I'm very glad that this happened, that I came to college, finished my education, that I can support my family well. So I give God glory for that.
Wonderful. Well, George,
I'll try and get onto the U.S.
Yeah, George.
Under the U.S. coaching business.
George,
yes,
we have George.
That would
be
nice, sir.
We certainly have to do a part two, George.
Yes, sir.
The final word with you, Sir Clive. The guys are off to Bangladesh. Do you think we've got the side? I know it's going to be difficult. Spinners' pitches. You think we can win it, Sir Clive, in Bangladesh?
Well, the point is, you know, you would like them to win. Good. Bangladesh is a pretty good side. I want them to go there and show that they can do a good job for us. If they can, they must be skillful if they've chosen them. These batters, they have a chance. I'm very disappointed in the guy Brooks not going, because I think he was one for the future. This guy is a good cricketer, and he would have been, you know, stabilizing the middle. But listen, life was not meant to be easy. Let them go out there, and if they can work hard, concentrate, you know, and don't give away their wicket, bowlers trying to bowl the right sort of line, and I think they can do well if they get a good start. The only thing about our West Indies team at the moment is that we only bat well in one inning.
Oh.
We got to bat well in both innings. And if you look at our record, We only bat well in one inning. So that is something they have to improve on. Our batting and the young guys we have, this is the time they're playing on pitches just like at home. So go out there, don't worry, try not to have any fear. Go out there with this positive thinking that you want to do well and you want to stay in the West Indies team for a while.
Well, Sir Clive, we want to thank you very much indeed for coming through. It's coming up to 8 o'clock Eastern Caribbean time. We're going to certainly have you back again. George, breath of fresh air, George Ferris, with a lovely beard there, looking as young as ever, age 56 now. In fact, and you may want to come back and certainly
be very much... Are you speaking to me or George?
both gentlemen.
Maybe you, Sir Clive.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You for having me, gentlemen.
Right.
Yes, nice.
All right, okay. I want to thank, of course, Toby Radford, the former batting coach who was with us, and, of course, Johnny Grave, who is the CEO. And we just heard from George Ferris, one that could have gone on to have played for the West Indies, and, of course, Sir Clive Lloyd. And the news breaking again is that one of the West Indies cricketers, Romario Shepherd, testing positive for COVID-19. The West Indies will make that announcement tomorrow, but you heard it first on Mason and Guest. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brighter tomorrow. It's good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.